Johnson. Oh, going for the championship, that ain't coming close. This might require taking notes, homie, listen close. Serendipity when you know, you the one who chose. We going past the end zone, crushing every goal. I feel it in my enzymes, in my chromosomes. If you ain't come outside to go hard, then go back home. I'm in my zone, if it ain't greatest, I'm better left alone. This for the world, put what we speaking on speakerphone. Yeah, Wills, let them know what we be on. Serendipity, man, tune in.
What's going on, good people? Welcome to another episode of Serendipity. I'm Inky Johnson here with my brother.
I'm Oak. What's happening, good people?
Man, Oak, how you feeling?
Man, shoot. I'm here when I'm well.
Yes, indeed.
Got a pocket full of penicillin.
Yes, indeed.
As the old folks say, man, you know. So we in here, though. We in here. How about yourself?
Man, I'm cool. I saw some, man. It was dope. It was talking about, like, you know, like when we walk into a place and people are already there. Mm-hmm. Right? We walk into a restaurant, we walk into a school, walk into a gymnasium, and we're asking a person when we're looking for them, like, hey, man, where are you?
Right.
Like, where are you? And it said, like, certain people say that in terms of where are you as like a mental health check. It's mm-hmm. like a spirit check.
Yeah.
Right? As if, like, hey, man, where are you? Like,
right.
Where's your spirit? Where's your mindset? I was like, man, that's dope. I ain't never thought about it like that. You know what I'm saying?
I hear it. In fact, me and my partner, probably last summer, we started just this whole talking about this language stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say, you know, there's a difference in between how you doing and how you feeling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, I'm asking how you feeling.
Right.
Not necessarily, you know, because we say, how you doing, man? I'm good, whatever, whatever. But how you feeling?
Mm.
Asking you, and the way in which we practice it, it's a pause, and I literally think about, how am I feeling?
Right.
You know, I can always give you the generic response, mm-hmm. but how am I feeling? Like, we were talking, you know, before we started shooting. I don't know where my spirit is. Like, there's something that's bubbling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling you how, you know, I was crying going down to the country, coming back up that Sunday. I had some tears. Just listened to the music, and it just started, just flowed.
Right.
And I don't know why right now. I can't articulate it.
No doubt.
You know, so just being real, just being cognizant of your feelings,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't necessarily control your feelings, but you definitely can make sure that your feelings don't control you.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's the way in which you respond to them and lean into them, lean into the feelings.
Picking that up.
Yeah. Man.
Gonna start it off, man, like we always do with this quote card. It says, joy, talking about our problems is our greatest addiction. Break the habit. Talk about your joys. Talking about our problems is our greatest addiction. Break the habit. Talk about your joys.
Oh, man, that's a multi-layered statement right there.
Yes, indeed.
Because... yes, in fact, Sunday, as I was telling you, you know, I was talking to one of my partners who a little younger than me, so maybe, you know, I guess like younger brother type deal. That's the relationship style, mentee.
Right.
And I just called him because it was just on my spirit. Let me call and just check in with him.
Right.
And he was just sharing with me some of the things he was going through and I didn't know.
Mm.
And so we pretty much talked for about an hour and a half my whole ride back to the city coming from the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, we cried together. We laughed together. I was just pouring into him and speaking life, speaking positivity.
No doubt.
Because when you're going through things, it's going to be very easy to look at and feel like everything is just negative.
Yeah, man.
So you have to literally break the habit and speak life into yourself, be around people who speak life into you, or you be around people who don't speak life into you.
Mm.
And you definitely, from an internal standpoint, when things get tough in life, we literally speak death into ourselves.
Yeah.
Man. We speak disease into ourselves.
Mm.
Because it's what? Dis-ease.
Hmm. Pick that up.
Right?
Run that back.
We speak dis-ease. Mm. What if we speak per-ease? Mm. What if we speak easy?
Right.
What if we give ourselves grace? What if we give ourselves compassion? Because most of the time, Inky, I promise you, bro, we bring on to ourselves, we exacerbate whatever is going on.
Yeah.
Right? And you can break that habit by being around people. It's even with most people do it with music though. Mm. Like we don't really know we're doing it, but put on a song. Mary J, Just Fine. Think about how your spirit goes.
Yeah.
Right?
My mom loved that song.
Too. Exactly. Because it means something personal to it. That's why those gospel hymns and those songs mean something. Never would have made it.
Yeah, man. Yes.
All of those songs speak into your spirit to eradicate the dis-ease that's conjuring up inside of you.
Mm. Yes, sir. No, I'm picking that up, man. It's like it says the brain has a natural tendency to look for ways to confirm what it believes to be true, right? Confirmation
bias. Hold
on,
say that one more time, right? Bro. Say that again.
The brain has a natural tendency to look for ways to confirm what it believes to be true, right? Confirmation bias.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about problems, talking about our problems as our greatest addiction, break the habit, talk about your joys. Just naturally, if you go through something, if the ball hasn't been bouncing your way, just naturally people are going to talk about problems. Just naturally, right? It's like, that's why one of the greatest questions I get asked often is, you wouldn't change what happened to you, man? Like, you wouldn't change it? What about your arm? What about the atrophy? Because naturally, when they see it, they just make the assumption that I consider what happened to me to be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just make that assumption because they see what happened to me, and they consider it to be tragedy, problem, opposition, challenge. I don't view it that way, right? My thought process and my perspective about it, it brings me great joy because of the individual that it's turned me into. It brings me great joy because of the perspective that I've acquired. It brings me great joy because of the way that I view life every single day when I wake up. And so when it says break the habit, right? Like I wrote down some, man, just look for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Just look for a reason, right? Look for a reason to find joy. Just look for a reason. Ball don't bounce your way. Look for a reason to be happy, right? Just look for a reason to find the good in another person. Just look for a reason, right? When it's not going your way, it seems like it's spiraling out of control. Before you talk about the problem, look for a reason to talk about the joy. Just find the reason, right? It's just like with people, oh, like, how often do a person just tell another person, like, man, I appreciate you?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How often does that happen? Everybody wants to feel appreciated. Mm-hmm. It don't cost us nothing, right? Just look for the reason to talk about the joy.
And the thing when you say that, right, it's like, hey, bro, I appreciate you.
No doubt.
However you receive it is irrelevant.
Right.
Because the fact that I was able to get and conjure up a space within me to look for the reason for my own joy and offer it to you,
yeah,
right? That expands me.
Mm.
That expands that increases my capacity.
Absolutely.
Right? I'm saying it to you for you, but ultimately it's for me.
Yeah, I'm picking that up.
So sure. when you offer and when you find the reason, you look for the reason and you execute the reason, manifest the reason for your joy, it comes back on you tenfold. So when you offer a compliment, if offering the compliment doesn't bring you joy, doesn't bring you a sense of fulfillment, then it's not a compliment.
Mm. That's good.
It's a manipulation.
That's good. Talk about it. That's
right?
Good.
Like you just saying something, you just trying to finesse somebody.
Hmm.
But I'm telling you this, and if you pick it up, that's great. If you don't pick it up, that's your issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's your business. But I'm telling you this because I want to feel better about who I am.
Mm.
So
offering
your joy increases your joy.
Mm.
Offer your joy to increase your joy.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I'm with it. I'm picking that up.
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, no reason walking around here being negative or even leaning into whatever challenges life is throwing at you.
Right.
Right? And no need of leaning into these variables. Mm-hmm. Lean into the constants.
Absolutely. That's a fact. Oh, like, I want to touch on something, man, and we're going to spin up out of it. What's something that you're grateful for in this moment? Or something that transpired today? Like, what's something you're grateful for, man?
Your voice.
Yeah.
Your voice.
No doubt.
Because I was riding, got caught in traffic, leaving school.
Mm-hmm.
I was frustrated. And I felt it coming on. Like, man, I'll be late. They waiting on me. You know, I know all of this stuff in terms of I had in my head when I wanted to be here and all of that. I hate being in traffic. And then just the other things, like I was saying, my spirit is toiling right now.
No doubt.
So it kind of being in traffic forced me to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get here and we start chopping it up.
No doubt.
We start talking about memories. We start talking about, you know, when I took y'all on the trip to South Carolina, mm-hmm. or taking other students everywhere else, like just leaning into that joy, but hearing your voice and hearing your perspective right now, just not even on this podcast stuff, just me and you chopping it up, right?
No doubt.
I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I was in a moment, my spirit wasn't, it was off.
Yeah.
You know, get here. And we had the opportunity to start talking before we started taping. Hey, yeah, your voice, bro.
Picking that up, man.
What about you?
It's something that's simple, man, that I feel like can help us recalibrate as people, but we take it for granted, man. Just thinking about or speaking about or bringing about things that you're grateful for, man. Like one of my favorite quotes, it says, if you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness.
Yeah.
Like if you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness. Right? Like what are you grateful for? Every single day, just slow down. Mm-hmm. Right? Like what are you grateful for, man? Like just something simple. Right? Because it recalibrates and puts us in the space and place that when I'm grateful, I learn more. When I'm grateful, I'm a little bit better. Right. When I'm grateful, I listen a little more. When I'm grateful, I'm more in the moment. Right. When I'm grateful, as my dog would say, I'm where my feet are. Like when I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Right. If you forget the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness. Slow down every once in a while, man. Just think about what you're grateful for or just write down what you're grateful for. I don't let a day go by. Oak. I'm going to just be real. I don't let a day go by, man, to where I don't jump in my pad and write down what I'm grateful for. If I'm in an airport call, I'm going to put it in my notes, man. Grateful. Psh, psh. This happened. Grateful. Family. Great. Just simple stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we out here running this race, man. And like, it's you hear certain things in life and like it sounds cliche-ish. It sounds like, oh, that's cool. But bro, it's true. The things like everybody you meet fighting a battle you don't know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The
mm-hmm.
encounters you have yeah. with people. Like, that's man, be grateful. It. When they say, if we threw all our problems in a pile, I guarantee you'll snatch yours back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, be grateful, man. Find a way to be grateful.
Because yeah. You get caught up in the rat race.
Yeah.
Right? And what tends to happen, it's almost like you close the door, you close your ears up to hearing from the creator, to hearing from the universe.
Mm. Teach.
Because what you, and it's almost, I'm almost willing to say that an ungrateful person is probably the most selfish person in the world.
Mm. Pick that up.
Right.
Pick that up.
Because you believe that your issues and problems is the most important thing going on.
Mm.
As opposed to you not understanding that you won the race.
Mm.
Like in the most literal terms,
yeah.
you won the race.
Right on.
Right?
Teach.
Okay. You won.
Teach.
How do you know you won? Because out of all the millions and billions of sperms that could have got to the egg, yours the one that got to the egg. You won.
You laugh at times.
Like, just think about it.
Right. That's a fact.
Your pops released millions and billions of freaking sperm.
Right.
And yours won the race.
Mm.
So what are you going to be ungrateful about?
Mm. Mm. Mm.
You get a chance to put your feet on the floor every day. Come on, bro. Mm. Like you were born a winner.
Teach, man.
Every one of you, you were born a winner. It's the other 999 million sperms that didn't make it. They lost. Mm. You won. So then we build on it. And we look for every moment to be grateful. So every time you look for these moments of woe is me or it's the worst thing ever, whatever, however, and whoever, then what you're doing is you're saying, you know what, God, you made a mistake.
Jeez. Sheesh.
And I can't sit. I can't sit here and say, God, don't make no mistake now.
No, sir.
Right?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Those moments of, and I'm talking to myself, y'all just hearing it, because a lot of stuff that I don't even talk about that I'm going through right now.
Yeah.
I can make the decision to be like, oh man, woe is me. Or I can make the decision that I'm grateful for this moment.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be here with you. I'm grateful to be in this situation, in this room with these wonderful young people who are producing and doing a great, great job. I'm grateful that I get a chance to see people and meet people every day. I'm grateful that I can look at my phone and somebody done sent me a message and I say, hit me. And man, you don't know how many people I done talked to this week.
Yeah, man.
That I ain't never seen their face.
Yeah, man.
And they sharing their stories with me.
Yeah, man.
I'm grateful that I get an opportunity to hear. I get an opportunity to be a positive impact, hopefully, in somebody's life. Mm. So what I got going on, we're going to get through it. That's the one I'm going to pass.
No question. It's as I was hearing you speak, when I started writing, the thing that came to mind, I'll never forget, man, I was flipping through quote cards one day and I came across one. And it says, this place where you are right now, God circled on a map for you. And I was like, oh, no. It was like, this place where you are right now, God circled on a map for you.
Yeah.
And then I started to think further about it. Oh, like the moments, the encounters, the situations, the experiences, the circumstances, God circled on a map for me. Meaning every moment, everything I encounter, it's something in that moment for me and my development, my growth, my press as a person. What if that was my perspective with every situation I encounter? This moment where I am right now, God circled on a map for me. All right, God, what is it? What are you pressing? What are you driving home to me right now in this moment? What do you got for me in my development? Is it easy? By no stretch. But what if my perspective was in that space and place? What if I was cognizant that because I always say this, man, like, you know what to do when things go your way and things go right. That ain't hard. Everybody knows what to do when things go their way and go right. Everybody knows that. But how can we reshape and reframe and edit our perspective to when we're in certain moments that don't feel good, I can say, all right, this moment where I am right now, God circled on a map for me. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for trusting me. Now, what's the lesson? What's the blessing? What's the press? What's the growth? Right? Not the easiest thing, but just be up for it, man.
And when you said, thank you for trusting me, you're saying, God, thank you for trusting me with this moment.
Correct. Yeah.
And that means that if God trusts you, then how you losing?
Talk about it.
Meaning, we are always equipped with everything that we need.
Absolutely. I firmly believe that.
You're always equipped.
I firmly believe.
The only thing that is a variable in the situation is your perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. The way in which you look at it, the way in which you attack it, the way in which you receive it. You can look at it, but most important, you want to look at it like, what's the lesson I'm supposed to get? How am I supposed to be better? How am I supposed to be increased? How am I supposed to increase those around me?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
from this situation.
Yes, sir.
Remember, we were talking earlier and we were saying the greatest teacher is allowing folks to see you do what you do.
Absolutely.
More so than your words.
Absolutely.
That's the greatest teacher. So in those moments, God is trusting you to be a teacher, to be a beacon of light, to give the message. Deliver the message, whatever, however it may be. It may be through your words, it may be through your actions, right? But God is trusting you in this moment. He gave you the opportunity to have what happened to you to impact millions of people, bro.
Mm.
Right?
Talk about it.
impact, influence, inspire, increase millions of people.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is just deal with the pain shooting down your arm from time to time. So why would you, how you going to trade that?
Picking that up, dog.
How you going to trade that?
Yeah, man.
So when we talk a lot about perspective, ain't?
Yeah.
And we got to keep talking about perspective because I think that definitely drives performance.
Absolutely.
Right? 100%. But we not. But you wouldn't talk that at 10.
Right.
You would not talk that at 12 and 15. Mm-hmm. That's something that we're coming on. So if I can teach a six-year-old that,
they're
going to take it to some places we've never seen before. Right now, we, you know, our conversations are mainly to folks who are who have gone through some stuff, who live in life.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But what about when we start teaching this to some young cats who they fresh, got a blank slate? Oh, my perspective drive my performance.
Yeah, man.
Boom, they about to go kill it, whatever they doing, right?
Absolutely.
Even, I think about, like, why do people keep saying what Deion say? You look good, you play good, they pay good, right? Meaning that's a phrase that frames a perspective.
That's good.
It's a frame it's a phrase that frames perspective, and thus, Deion ain't played no ball in 20 years.
People still say
they still saying it though. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So we're trying to we got to keep going until we frame the perspective of positivity, empathy, compassion, love, looking out for other people, understanding everything is a you issue. All these things that we're trying to frame.
Yeah, man.
So each week, we're just trying to come up with different ways of saying the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm picking that up. Yeah. Let's get into it, Oak. I want to talk about the mask of inauthenticity. The mask of inauthenticity. The concept of the true self versus the false self. The true self is who you really are. The false self is the mask we put on to protect ourselves. The true self is who you really are. The false self is the mask we put on to protect ourselves.
We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes.
Talk about it.
Paul Laurence Dunbar.
Yeah.
And at the end of the poem, it basically says, if you wear the mask long enough, you become the mask.
Yeah. Teach, dog.
Right? So we can look at it two different ways. You can be your authentic self from the beginning, or understand that if you keep wearing the mask, that's going to become your authentic self at the end. Which one do you want to be?
Yeah, man.
Do you want to be the person that is a lie? Or do you want to be the person that is a genuine reflection of who the Creator made you to be?
Yes, sir. Pick that right up.
We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. So when we wear the mask of inauthenticity,
yes, sir,
we're living for the world.
Yeah, it's a fact.
We are becoming of the world. Yeah. Make sure that you're in it, but not of it, right? But when you quote unquote fake, when you a hypocrite, whatever, all of those different things. But yet, what it really is saying that you don't understand how wonderful and beautiful and divine that you are in your authentic self.
Yeah, man.
It is, being inauthentic is just a reflection of you not understanding your own beauty, your own divinity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the press is get in your connection with your own beauty, your own brilliance, how wonderful you are. That's why you always talking to that person in the mirror. That's it.
Always.
You always talking to that person in the mirror. The other outside noise is, Coach Tomlin would say with the elevator noise, you had to block it out.
Yes, indeed.
You block out the elevator noise.
Yes, indeed.
Right? The old lady who went in the closet to pray, she closed the door because she had to block out that noise.
Yes, indeed.
You got to block out the noise.
That's a fact.
If you're listening to the noise, then now that's when you become inauthentic. You listen to the noise of, oh, I got to have this car. I got to do this. I got to have this. I got to be in this situation by the time I'm 25. I got to be in this situation by the time I'm 38. And if not, I'm a failure. Right? That's inauthentic.
Yeah, man.
Because that's not those, that may not be the steps that's ordered for you.
Absolutely.
So now you playing God? You trying to follow a directive and not directions.
Mm.
Mm. See, the directive, you come up and say, okay, by the time I'm 26, I want to have a baby. I want to have a family. I want to be making this amount of money. I want to be living here. I want to have this house. Those are directives.
Right.
The direction. Okay, God, what's your direction? What you got for me right now?
Yeah, man.
That's teach, authentic.
Man. Teach.
And it may not feel good. It may not look good in the moment. But being authentic is always going to end up good.
Because
you were born good.
Yeah, man.
You were born. You came into this world, your authentic self. And then as long as you can, as much as you can cling to how you came into this world, then that means you're going to always be able to have and find your peace, find your joy, find your zero, whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
Right? When you start getting into the realm of inauthenticity, that's when you start following, that's when the tail start leading the dog.
Teach, dog.
That's when you start chasing ghosts.
Mm.
Right, you're never gonna catch it, because as soon as, no matter what you do, somebody always gonna have something to say. I don't care if you give a person $1 million and be like, nah, leave it, boy, you couldn't give me 1.5
and give me 5.
Right, it's always gonna be something. So when they say you can't please everybody, that ain't the point. You can please you.
Better believe it.
You can please you, and that's your only objective in life is to please you.
Yes, sir.
That's what authenticity means to me. Yeah. Pleasing you.
The master in authenticity. The true self, who you really are. The false self. The mask we put on to protect ourselves. I often think, when I hear that, Oak, I think who you need to be versus who the people want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In certain situations, in certain circumstances, who do you need to be versus who the people want you to be? And so in society, we got certain things for certain people and for certain situations. Like they'll say a father, a man, a priest, a protector, a provider, right? And then you encounter certain situations that needs to show certain sides of you to the people that are coming behind you or the people that you're leading or your children, right? I can't always show my son and my daughter just the side of ink that's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Right.
In every situation. Because then my son, I think, oh, Pops, you ain't got feelings? Mm-hmm. Like, I heard a little boy say something to another little boy, bro. It had me laughing. Now, he was joking with him, and the little boy was a little frustrated, so my man wasn't showing no emotion. And he said something to the little boy. He was joking with him. The other little cat, he just sitting there like, he said, bro, you AI? You a robot? like, bro, you AI? Like, you ain't got no emotions? Like, you ain't gonna show... And that can happen with our children.
Yeah.
That can happen with the people that we lead. If we're not careful, we could put on this mask and act as if we always strong, we always tough, we're always brilliant, and that's just not true. And then it becomes counterproductive when they come along and they encounter certain situations and circumstances and they feel certain emotions, but now they got to put the mask on because they feel as if they can't express them because they never saw the person that was in front of them express them, right? That's how you get caught in cycles, generational cycles, right? It's like Brady when he said he was watching Patrick Mahomes run around, throw the football, laugh, joke, having fun. And he said, man, I used to be like that. What the hell happened to me? Like, I used to have fun like that. What happened to me? Right? When he watched them. And so for me, I always think, all right, man, like, what does the situation require? What do people want me to be? But most importantly, man, who do I really need to show that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Right? In this moment, right? Not the mask, man. Forget the mask. Take the mask off. Just be who you are. Like, whether that be vulnerable in certain situations, whether that be tough in certain situations, whether a situation requires some tears, just be who you are. Stop living behind the mask. Because sooner than later, that mask gonna become counterproductive. You're gonna have to deal with it one way or another.
But you don't have said a mouthful.
Yes, sir.
You don't said a mouthful for real because we've been talking and you mentioned it being a father, right? And most of the people who listen to this, either they are a parent or they are a son or a daughter.
Right.
Right. You wanted to.
No doubt.
Or have been.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I gather from this mask, right, is you must show your struggle.
Got to, man.
You must show it.
Got to.
To the people that you love, to the people that you're connected to. Because once you show your struggle, that announces your vulnerability.
Mm.
And when you announce your vulnerability, you give people the opportunity, you give them the freedom, you give them permission to announce their vulnerability. And two people who are vulnerable form a bond and a connection, right, that can never be broken.
Mm.
Because it's built on the absolute basis of my authentic self, your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't coming at you, ever gonna come at you sideways, you ain't gonna ever come at me sideways. Right. No matter what happens outside of us.
Absolutely.
Right? So show your struggle, announce your struggle, speak your struggle, let people see you walk through your struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say people, I'm not talking about the world. Yeah. I'm talking about the folks in your circle, your family, whomever you deem to be, you know, your family and your circle. But show it. Show your struggle.
Embrace
because that leads to the vulnerability.
Absolutely.
Embrace your struggle. Yeah. Lean into your struggle. It's like with, I think it was Roosevelt who's one of his favorite sayings or whatever, the man in the arena. And
tough. Well,
we have a lot of people who just want to be in the stands.
Yeah.
Talk about you, laugh at you, celebrate you.
Yeah.
When you do well, kick sand on your, you know, whatever it may be. But until you get in that arena and make yourself vulnerable,
yeah, man.
You haven't lived.
Mm.
And most importantly, you haven't taught anybody anything.
Yeah, man.
Because the way in which you're going to respond to trials, situations, circumstances, as you're saying, who I need to show up as? Do I need to show up as Macho Man Randy Savage, right? Or do I need to show up as Baby Doll?
Mm.
And because of who I am as a man, I can show up as all of them because of my relationship with God.
Talk about it. Teach, though.
I think they call it code switching or something. Mm. Whatever these young folks. You know, we keep coming up with new terms and all that stuff. But the thing is, I want to be able to show up however I need to show up.
Mm.
Whatever is needed to show up. Not how you want me to show up. Not how the world want me to show up. I'm going to show up however I need to show up.
Pick that up, man.
We got to show up with vulnerability,
yes.
Right? That is your authenticity. That is when you remove the mask. And there's another thing that you said. Read the part again about the mask.
Mm-hmm. The true self is who you really are. The false self is the mask we put on to protect ourselves.
That's the biggest misnomer, false BSery ever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put on nothing to protect yourself.
Think you can.
David put on all of this armor and stuff to protect himself from Goliath. He said, man, take this stuff
get
off
this
of me.
Off me, man. This ain't me. Get it off me.
Right. I got to be my authentic self. If I'm going into this battle of all battles, I got to be my authentic self.
Yes, indeed.
Right? So you have to remove all of that false bravado. You have to remove all of the false pettiness. You have to remove every and all aspects of you that you think is your protection when it's really your hindrance.
Better believe that. Pick that
it's really the thing that's going to keep you from winning the battle of life. Oh, I'm going to be hard. And you know, like when I was growing up, we ain't smile. Man, I ain't smiled in a picture for about 30 years. Right? But why? Why am I not smiling?
Show them teeth, baby.
So what I'm saying is, being vulnerable really strengthens you. Your authentic self is more than enough. Your authentic self is more than enough. Please believe that. Please understand that. When you walk in your authentic self, when you have on the mask that you were born with, that is more than enough for you to accomplish your dreams, to be happy, to have your peace, to create your peace, to create your joy, to walk however it is that you decide that you want to walk.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
When we in our inauthentic self, that's when we having these battles, these struggles in life, and really more so with ourselves.
Right. Absolutely. It's interesting, Oak. It's like when I was hearing you speak, I was just thinking about like life is always asking us to let go, right? Mm-hmm. Like let go of certain things. And I remember when my son was in that accident. and we was up there and we were spinning, like I felt it in my spirit saying, let go of the wheel, right? And I couldn't because I felt as if I had a false sense of control. But the truck was spinning out of control. But because I felt as if I had a false sense of control, my spirit was saying, let go. I'm fighting against what's naturally happening, right? And life is asking us to let go of things every single day, old environments, old people, old situations, old circumstances. But because we feel as if we got a false sense of control, we're like, I can't let it go. But we can't be who we used to be and who we're going to be at the same time. We got to give up something. Every next level of our lives demands a new version of us. In order to go up, you have to give up something.
Right? Say that again. In order to
go up, we have to give up something.
Yep.
Right? We got to put certain things in place, man, like to commit to just being better. You know what I'm saying? Like put certain things in place to commit to being better when we encounter certain situations and circumstances so we don't have to put the mask on.
Mm-hmm. You're going to face it in about 5 years, bro. And that is one of the greatest lessons that I was taught was I told my middle son, Amari, this yesterday about how he helped teach me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to let go.
Yeah.
Because 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, you being parent and you there and you want to make sure everything is cool.
Right.
17, 18, 19, 20, you got to let go to see if you did it right.
Mm. Yeah, man.
You're going to have to let go.
Talk about it, Doc. Yes, sir.
Right? You got to let go. And most importantly, you got to let go of old thoughts.
Mm.
What we talk about with the habit.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
like, you got to let go of the old thoughts. You got to let go of negative thoughts. You got to let it go. Mm. In order, can I pick up, can I have something else in my hand right now?
No.
The only way I can get something else in my hand is to do what?
Let it go.
Let that go.
Yes, sir.
Then something, whatever it may be, that's when my trust, that's when my faith and my understanding of the universe and God comes into play. That it's going to, whatever come back in my hand is going to be better than this right here.
Mm.
You can't hold on to something and then try to pick something else up.
Mm.
So we have to let go of old thoughts.
I got to read this, man, because we were talking about letting go. And it says, I've learned that no matter what happens or how bad it seems today, life does go on and it will be better tomorrow. I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles adversity. I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you'll miss them when they're gone from your life. I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw some things back.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to throw some things back. I've learned that whenever I decide something with an open heart, I usually make the right decision. I've learned that even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch somebody. People love a warm hug or just a friendly pat on the back. The great Dr. Maya Angelou said, I've learned not to go throughout life with a catcher's mitt on both hands.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to throw some things back, right. Baby.
That's why we say we're pitching and catching.
Pitching and catching, man. Pitching and catching.
And that's literally what reciprocity is.
No question.
I give what I get.
Absolutely.
I catch it, I give something back.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Man. Right. And understanding what we're really trying to say is believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that you're divine. And if you really understand that, then what you're going to give back is divinity.
Mm.
You're going to give back kindness. You're going to give back encouragement. And two people who can walk in a sense of, I know you got my back, I got your back, but more importantly, I know you have compassion for me, I have compassion for you. You have empathy for me, I have empathy for you.
Yeah.
That relationship, again, that's forged in vulnerability.
Yeah.
It can't be broken.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
If you find yourself in relationships that are troubled, start with looking in the mirror and say, how vulnerable am I?
Mm. Yeah.
Am I being my most vulnerable self?
Teach, Doc.
Right? And even in the, on the front end of it, it may seem like you're getting hurt. Somebody may be taking your kindness for weakness.
Yeah.
That's a dumb issue.
Mm.
The you issue is you understand that vulnerability is the way in which I connect to the creator, the way in which I connect to the universe, and most importantly, not most importantly, but the way in which I connect to the people around me.
Mm.
Being vulnerable.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you can close your hearts, put up the fortress around your heart to keep folks from getting in and hurting you.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is it's just going to turn in on yourself and you're going to end up hurting yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you're going to need somebody's word of inspiration. You're going to need somebody's correction.
Mm.
You're going to need somebody's wisdom.
Yeah.
You're going to need someone else's help. But if your heart is closed, how you going to get it?
Absolutely. It's a fact. It's a fact.
But I love the part when she said, I'm going to endure pains, but I'm not going to
be one. That's it.
You ain't got to be a pain in the ass to folks now. Just because you going through.
Right.
You deciding to be that to other people.
That's a fact, man. I'm picking that up, man.
She was slick calling folks out on that one.
Oh, no question. No question. Vulnerability, man. I love it because vulnerability in society, people look at vulnerability as a weakness, but vulnerability is one of the greatest sources of strength that we possess because it provides a connection that I don't know another way that you can get it.
Yeah.
In terms of, it's almost spiritual, right?
You take almost off of it.
Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? It's spiritual for sure. Because when you connect on that level and you show a level of vulnerability, you show a level of growth, but also you give other people permission to grow.
Exactly. There you go. Now you're talking.
You give other people permission to grow. When you show the side of vulnerability to you as a leader, as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a friend, when you're vulnerable in situations, now you're giving other people permission to be vulnerable with you and you create a connection that's spiritual.
Yeah. That's like what you were saying with Lil Ink.
No doubt.
And being able to see you be vulnerable now gives him permission to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
It expands his thought process. It expands his horizons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's getting this at 10, 11, 12, 13. Imagine if you got it at 13.
Right. Absolutely.
So now, it's going to blow you out the water, man.
No question.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But that's it. That's the power of vulnerability.
Yeah. Our struggles are short-term steps we must take on our way to long-term success. Our struggles are short-term steps we must take on the way to long-term success. Talk about it, Doc.
As I always like to say, embrace the struggle. Embrace the storm. Ask for it. Because that is equipping you to be able to have the character to withstand the success that you're going to get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not disappointed. I'm not mad. You know, every time that young cat in Minnesota go play, I'm cheering for him, love him, you know, whatever. Been watching him since he was a young cat. But I also kind of slick like that they getting their head knocked in a little bit by Denver. Because these are just short steps of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So when he becomes what we know he's going to become,
right,
he's going to be able to stay there.
Absolutely.
Anthony Edwards, who we're talking about.
But
so in every situation, if you get it before you've earned it, you're not going to keep it.
Right.
So the struggle is earning it.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is in life, you know, we want to have success without going through the pains. And that's one of the things that I'm questioning or trying to figure out right now with the youth, 20 to 30-year-olds, whatever, in terms of, you know, like with technology and all of that type stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of them inviting their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I see them being able to manipulate the situation because they on the forefront of the technology, so they're winning right now.
Yeah.
But when you become 50 or 60 and somebody's grandmother and grandfather, mm-hmm. what lessons are you going to be able to teach?
Yeah. Right.
You ain't went through nothing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm asking, always asking a 20-year-old, 22-year-old, 24-year-old, what lessons are you inviting? What struggles are you inviting in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be the fabric and the testimony that you're going to be able to use to teach the Dejons of the world, the 5-year-olds, the 2-year-olds, yeah. the ones who haven't been born yet.
Yeah, man.
Because this cycle of life's going to keep on rolling.
Pick that up, man. Pick that up. It's interesting. Oh, like I always say to people, man, is your software updated? And cats always think I'm referring to an iPhone. And I'm like, bro, Apple's so cold-blooded. They'll update your phone while you sleep. You know what I'm saying? What I'm talking about is the information, the knowledge base, the things you require, the things you believe, the things you stand on, is it applicable to the world that we now reside in for the things that you seek to accomplish and the things that you aspire to do? Is your software updated? Like, I know you got the latest iPhone. I know you got the latest version of whatever app you got. I know you got all that on lock. But it's the information, the knowledge base that you stand on every single day, is it applicable to the person that you're striving to become, the things you seek to accomplish and aspire to do, and the person that ultimately one day you will become? Like, you got to update your software, man. You got to continue to grow. You got to continue to evolve because life is constantly growing and life is constantly changing every single day. And so if we're not updating our software, at a certain point, you're going to come up against something. And your advantage is going to soon become your disadvantage,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like I told one of my roommates freshman year, I'm like, bro, come with me to the bank. Like, put your money in the bank. Like, nah, I ain't gonna spend this. I'm like, bro, just put a little bit in the bank, right? He like, nah, I got to spend this. We go to the bank. I put my check in the bank. He go to the bank. He get a bank card. We go to the mall. He rack up. They swipe his card. Boy, card didn't go through. He like, swipe it again. I know I got the money. They swipe it again. It didn't go through. He looked at me. I'm like, don't look at me. Big money, tight grip. Look at her. You the baller. He like, I know I got the money. The office gave it to me. Swipe it one more time. They swiped it again. She handed it to him. Oh, she said, you probably got the money, but you haven't even pulled a strip off the back to activate the card. I'm like, bro, you're a clown, right? And for most people, you probably got it, but you ain't even pulled a strip off the back to activate it. I'm talking about you can crush it in every aspect of your life, but you ain't pulled a strip off the back. Update your software, man, so you can crush it, not just in a career, in everything you touch and everything you do. Like, stand on it. The information, the knowledge base, is it applicable to the world that we reside in, the things you aspire to do, and the things you seek to accomplish? Don't just update your iPhone. Update your information.
Yeah. Update your character. Update your spirit. Meaning, and I think what Ink is really trying to say is hold firm to whatever your foundations are and build on it. Build your house, tear your house down, build it up again. Tear your house down, build it up again. The foundations, that's your principle. That's your character. But if your house is near the beach, you got to build a house to withstand the storm, the hurricane.
Yeah, man.
Right? If your house is in Nebraska, you got to build a house to withstand the tornadoes.
Mm. Mm.
If your house is in Alaska, you got to be able to withstand the snowstorms.
Yeah, man.
Your foundation is your foundation. Yet, you're going to keep moving, keep growing. So you're going to have to build your house, rebuild your house, tear it down and build it again. Tear it down and build it again. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what updating your software means.
Yeah. Because holistically, we live in a world holistically, cats aspire to do things that they ain't even equipped for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to do something or you want to accomplish something, you ain't even equipped to do it. Like, holistically, mentally, physically, spiritually, right? It's not that you don't have what it takes. It's that you don't realize in life sometimes it's going to take everything you got. Right? Tears, blood, cut, scars, bruises. I just want you to not get on the journey. It's like when Martin Luther King and the crew, when they was going across the Edmunds Pettus Bridge, when they was about to do the march, And they got up there, and at a certain point, he took a knee. And he like, nah, we got to go back. This probably was the second time. He like, we got to go back. This was the time, not Bloody Sunday. When Bloody Sunday happened, they came back, right? Not when Bloody Sunday happened, the time after Bloody Sunday. He came back. And when he came back, they was about to let him and the crew through. And King was like, nah, we got to go back. And they like, what you mean we got to go back? We just went, got the people, we ready. King like, nah, we got to go back. After he kneeled and prayed, we got to go back. They like, what you mean we got to go back? He said, we ain't got no food. Like, we ain't got none of the stuff we need. They finna let us march. Yeah, they letting us through. But they know we not equipped for the journey that we're trying to take. So we gonna eliminate ourselves. We ain't got none of the stuff we need. We ain't got the water. We ain't got the food. Yeah, we got the mission. We got the goal. We want to accomplish it. But we ain't got none of the stuff we need to complete the journey. So sure, they going to let us go through. Is your software updated? He knew we need certain things along this journey in order to complete it. Update your software, man. Don't be out here wishing. Like, wishing ain't a goal.
That's good. That's good, ain't
it? Wishing good. Ain't no goal. Don't be out here playing double dutch. There ain't no strategy. Equip yourself with what you need. Update your software so you can accomplish the things that you seek to accomplish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's land this plane with a word, baby. Empowerment. Empowerment.
The thing, I think that's the thing that we seek to give. Not necessarily the thing that we seek to receive.
Yeah. Talk about it, Doc.
The process, the product, the purpose is to empower. Empower others, empower yourself. But the process is empowering, right? To empower, not what the result of being empowered brings me. So empowering people to believe in themselves. Because the more you empower people to believe in themselves, the more you're going to start to believe in yourself.
Yes, sir. That's right? Good.
Empower people from a financial standpoint. The more that you speak from a financial standpoint of empowerment, because I know that's the, you know, the cool thing right now, then you begin to empower yourself from a financial standpoint. But empower, more importantly to me, empower people from a spiritual standpoint, from a character standpoint. Empower people from a principle standpoint.
Yes, sir.
So when we talk about empower, it's the thing that you're trying to give.
Yeah, man. Picking that up.
Right? Because life is a boomerang. Right? You throw it out there, boom, it's going to come back to you.
That's good.
So if I throw empowerment out there, it's coming back.
Absolutely. That's a fact.
If I teach you how to do this, if I show you how to do that, if I speak life into you, it's coming back because I'm going to be speaking life into myself.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
And if I'm not able to speak life into myself, I've introduced the environment to where somebody else will begin to speak life into me when I need it.
That's good.
So I'm creating an environment. So really, like, empowerment is still, you play on the field to create the environment that you want, to create the crops that you want to grow.
That's good.
You want to grow the crops of being an engineer. You want to grow the crops of being a great parent. You want to grow the crops of being a doctor. Whatever it is, whatsoever it is you want to grow the crops of, you empower other people to do it, and then you're going to be able to, it's going to come back to you for you to be able to do it for yourself.
Yeah, man.
Like, I think we skip the step. We skip the step of trying to empower other people. And then we just jump to, I want to empower myself. I would just want to empower myself and mine, right? No, the steps are empower others. Then it comes back to you.
Yeah.
Make sure other folks are good. Then it comes back to you.
Picking that up.
Ain't. Because it's like on the airplane, right? They say put the thing over your thing on your mouth, over your head first, right? All of that stuff. And then you can help other people. What I'm saying is empowerment is, it's the same as you putting the mask over yourself. What is that? You making sure other people are good.
Yeah.
That's going to ensure that you're good.
That's good.
Because see, that's from a physical standpoint. We're trying to survive this plane, right? I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint.
Yeah.
From a spiritual standpoint, you empower others and then it comes back to you.
Yeah, man. That's good. That's good. I love it, man. Like, empowerment, man, is something that, you know, I think of a lot of words, inspiration, you know, motivation, all of this stuff. But I'm going to land it with this, man. I want to challenge us, man. Like,
okay.
Like, as people, every single week, right, at the end of a week, like, ask yourself, who's worth 10 minutes of my time, right, to empower? Now, what empowering look like, however you do it, that's on you. Whether you write a note, whether you go see them, chop it up 10 minutes with them, whether you call them, right, whether you text thread them for 10 minutes, who's worth 10 minutes of your time to empower every single week, right? I want you to think about it and challenge yourself. Whether you writing them a letter, call, going to see them, chop it up, because like we said, man, like whatever you give out is coming back, right? It's a boomerang. Who's worth 10 minutes of your time to empower every single week?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. And in the end, it's going to change you and help you grow as an individual to become better. We get what we give, man.
And that's a direction and not a directive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We appreciate your time, man. Appreciate your support. We out. Peace. Serendipity, man. Tune in.